Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And you brought up Artemis. That's like a heist, right? Is that what that ends up being? It's like,
yes,
a heist. Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff. Yeah, I mean, obviously you're making Artemis at that point.
Yeah, but I know.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
Welcome to the SinCast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Jonathan Watkins, also from CinemaSins.
Hello, hello.
And we are going to do a mini pod of Ad Astra. This is we're doing two for this September 20th weekend. So this is either the first or the second one that you're,
yep,
listening to. I don't know. So Ad Astra was a movie that was supposed to come out in May, supposedly. We had a spring summer preview, and Ad Astra was there, but it had no trailer. There was nothing for it.
And then
I heard talk that it was because of the Disney Fox merger.
Yeah, I've heard that too. I couldn't really, I was trying to find more on that, and I really couldn't. So
I honestly can't see the reason why that would make any difference. And and anytime a movie like this comes out on September 20th, immediately have red flags about it, because it's typically a movie that's hard to sell for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that you can position. They've got it like a couple weeks before, like that October where the Oscars generally start. So it's around the area that you've seen stuff like First Man come out.
Or Gravity.
Gravity, yeah. All these. But it's not exactly.
It's not. Yeah. It's not exactly like those movies either, but those are easy comparisons.
Yeah. Obviously. It's closer to Interstellar than anything. But even then it's not really.
And that's another, that got a, like, Thanksgiving,
it was like November.
Or November, somewhere in November release.
What did I think about Ad Astra? This is a movie that's frustrating for me, because it starts off with a lot of the details that are in the background of this are fun. Like, there's all sorts of stuff about the commercialization of space travel and
mm-hmm.
everything,
mm-hmm.
and what they're doing on the moon, which is something that Andy Weir talks about in Artemis, if you've ever read that book.
It's on my list, but no, I have not read it yet.
It talks about the commercialization of the moon and everything. So there's a little bit of that at the beginning, and there's like all this talk about pirates and stuff like that.
Like,
there's all this like cool stuff that's not really what the movie's about, though.
No.
And, the movie is about, Brad Pitt is this, like, is he, I don't know if he's an actual astronaut. He's just like somebody who works on the,
I guess he's a military guy, because he makes they ask him a question about if he's been like in combat, and he says, he makes a joke about being in a bunch of Army and Navy games.
Arctic Circle is what he said. He said something about being at the Arctic Circle and was Army Navy games and that, but we see him at the very beginning of this movie working on the International Space Station.
Yes.
And there's this pulse that comes out of nowhere that wrecks the power where he is, and everybody who's working on that station falls to the earth, and they all have parachutes and stuff. But the thing about his character, and I think also a detractor to this movie almost, is that he's so calm about
mm-hmm.
everything that like he's able to like go in a tailspin basically to the earth and be just like, okay, just remember to do this and remember to do this.
Yeah, he's trying to stay awake.
Yeah,
right?
He's trying to stay awake so he doesn't black out during the thing, so that he can pull the parachute at the right. And so like all the situations in this movie, he's just like super calm. So there's like never any like any tension at all. It doesn't seem like, because he's always just taking out all these things in like,
yeah,
nothing.
Very much so. Yeah. No, that's a good point. I'm equally frustrated. I think we might be on kind of on the same page with this movie. I'm not saying I disliked it, but, mm-hmm. But I was definitely frustrated with it because, first off, I feel like there had to be some, and I mean, there was some studio interference. I mean, they did do a test screening a couple years ago that didn't go well. So they did do some reshoots. I read about that. Mm. And apparently Brad Pitt wasn't really available either. So I don't really know exactly what they reshot. I couldn't find that out. I'm guessing.
Yeah, he's in every scene.
The only thing I could think of is maybe like maybe the moon chase sequence they reshot, just because you don't see him necessarily.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I was trying to find that out, but I know they did do some reshoots, so I do feel like there was some studio stuff in here. So I'm curious if there was less of that actiony stuff originally, and then they just kind of threw that in because that felt forced.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this more in spoilers, but there's a distress call that they go on, and when they're going to Mars, that took me so far out of this movie.
Yeah, same here. Same here.
But go ahead.
Yeah, same here. It took me out as well. But there's a, so yeah, the main story is that this pulse is coming from Neptune.
Yes.
The people, the powers that be say that it came from Neptune. It's some sort of antimatter thing. And that's exactly what they were working with on the ship that his father, Tommy Lee Jones,
yes,
commanded.
Yeah.
And they were looking, he was looking for extraterrestrial life, intelligent life out there. Although I don't know if that was the actual part of the mission. I think that was something he was obsessed with.
Oh, very much so. Yeah. I mean, that's the impression I get. Yes.
Yeah. I don't think the mission was let's go find life. I think it was like, let's use this antimatter thing or whatever. And then, and it was called the DEMA project, or was it
Lima?
Lima, right? So yeah. It was something called the Lima project. So, the whole thing is they do all this like covert stuff to get him up into space. And I don't quite remember the reason why they had to do all this cover for it.
I don't either. Actually, you're saying something I don't even recall.
Yeah. Cause they said, first off, you're going to go to the moon and you're going to ride commercial. So that
you're talking about Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's just, it's supposed to be a top secret mission. Cause I think the idea that, the idea that Tommy Lee Jones character is still alive is not known by everybody.
Yeah. But I just don't think anybody I don't think anybody needs to know why he's up in space and why he's going anywhere he's going. It never made any sense to me. Maybe it's something they spell out and I missed it.
Well, and there was that one weird scene too where he doesn't want him to go on the distress call, going back to the distress call, and the captain's like, look, you're more than, you can take over this spacecraft, but then you have to let us know why.
Yeah.
Which I didn't understand that either.
They just kind of, it seemed like they made up that rule. right on the thing. Yeah. And I think you might be right about how maybe they shot that as something new in the movie. And then they any scenes where they needed Brad Pitt, they just use some existing footage because he's under a helmet the whole time.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter. But the whole thing is that, they need to get they need to get the pulses to stop because Earth is, there's like mass amount of people dying.
Yeah. And if Tommy Lee Jones isn't responsible, they feel like it's originating from that project.
Yes. Tommy Lee Jones is sort of a secondary feature to this mission.
Yeah.
He has to go to the moon first, and then from the moon, he has to shoot to Mars, and from Mars, he's got to shoot to Neptune. That's the basic gist of it. He's trying to figure out is his father alive, and then he needs to figure out how to stop the pulses. That's his mission.
Yeah, exactly. And it is, Interstellar is a good, I didn't really think about that really until now, but like the whole idea that Interstellar is dealing with the dirt storms or whatever it was that was coming, and that's why they're going to space. I mean, you have something very similar here.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's basically looking for a cure to Earth, essentially, and there's a cure for Earth, and there's there's a family / love aspect that Interstellar covers and everything. So, What did we think about this movie? I'm going to go ahead because I feel like this movie squanders some opportunities. I think it's a B minus.
I am exactly the same.
Yeah.
I think there is enough there to recommend it to people. I think if you've watched the previews, you've heard about it. If you like, I don't know if this is really hard sci-fi, but if you like more like thoughtful exploration and, you know, if you like that kind of science fiction, I mean, I think this is worth checking out and, you know, to see if you like it or not, because I know people love this movie. I've read reviews where people love this movie. Mm-hmm. And, Aaron Dicer, you know, our coworker, if you want to go listen to him on Sif Pop, I'm sure he talks about, cause I know he really liked it.
Yeah. I don't think this approaches nearly what we saw in Interstellar.
Though. I don't either. Or even something like this. Like, I would even say this movie really wants to be 2001.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I would say so. And, the other movie that came to mind watching this was Apocalypse Now.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, this is a Heart of Darkness story. Yeah. I mean, Tommy Lee Jones is very much the, Kurtz. He's very much in that same kind of vein. It's nowhere near as good as that. But I think this is a movie that, I would like to watch again at some point. Mm-hmm. And it's possible that I'll get more out of it on a second viewing, because I think there's enough there to where it's interesting. But I think, like you said, I think it squanders a lot of its opportunity. James Gray directed this.
Yeah, he's done a lot of like movies you may have heard of.
Yeah, and he's kind of a frustrating director, because mm-hmm. he's done stuff like The Yards was an early movie of his I quite like. Mm-hmm. We Own the Night is a super frustrating movie.
Yeah.
Because there are things in that movie that work so well, and yeah. there's things that suck.
Right.
Lost City of Z was kind of, it was okay. Like, it was, I liked it, but it was also kind of like that. So I think this very much feels like a James Gray movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his directing in this, and it could be, there could, like I said, studio interference could have something to do with that. But I think his directing in this is a problem,
mm-hmm.
because I think scenes like the distress call and like the moon chase, and there's other scenes like that, I just don't think they're done well. Like,
yeah.
I just think like they pull you out of the movie more than anything.
Mm.
And it just makes the whole thing feel so just, I don't, disheveled.
Yeah.
I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah. And it feels like it either should be that movie or it should be the movie that they've wanted to make the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. Probably.
Where either we make the pirates at the beginning of this thing, matter to the story, or we make their stop in the middle somehow.
And you brought up Artemis. That's like a heist, right? Is that what that ends up being? It's like
yes.
a high. Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you're making Artemis at that point.
Yeah, I know.
But
like, sticking more to the action might have been interesting.
Yeah,
but, yeah.
I understand where someone might like this, but I feel like it needed to be one thing or another, and it didn't know exactly which direction it wanted to be.
This is a, this is very much a borderline recommendation. Like, I feel like if you want to see it, you should definitely go check it out. I mean, I think the big screen's probably a good way to watch it.
Yeah.
But I wish I liked it more. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of irritating in that way.
Yeah. We'll go on to spoilers.
Sounds
for
good.
This.
Luke Spacey is Kaiser Sose.
Luke's father is actually Darth Vader.
What?
She's the sister and the daughter. They just
No. I'm reading the books.
So, I don't know I don't know if there's much left to spoil in this, really. There's not really any surprises, essentially, because the trailer tells you that Tommy Lee Jones is his father and is still alive. Maybe it doesn't say that he's still alive.
Well, I think the only thing about that is that about two thirds of the way through it, it's actually really hard, even though I just saw this like literally yesterday from when we're recording,
mm-hmm.
it's really hard for me to remember exactly when things happened, but I feel like it was about two thirds of the way through, he does get to listen to that recording
mm-hmm.
where he finds out that his father, killed everybody that was on the space station. So he finds out that this whole like legend has been told about his father his
mm-hmm.
whole life, that he was a hero
yeah.
and that he saved some, you know, and he's not at all. He's Kurtz, basically.
Yeah. And one of the, commanders on, is it Mars? I think it's Mars. Ruth Negga.
Yeah, plays, she's on Mars. Yeah.
Plays the character, says that, I know who you are. Your father killed my family. My family was on that same mission. And,
Hey, want to work together?
Yeah. And then she ends up like helping him get to the rocket. And there's a point where, and I don't know, maybe I'm just, I'd completely lost it at this point, but I didn't understand. He goes down into this like hatch where the rocket is, and then suddenly he's in water.
Yeah, I didn't really get that either.
And that it sort of gives the movie an excuse to for him to start thinking back on his own life and everything. And this is where I can somewhat understand. If you're on board with this whole self-reflection thing, this movie is for you.
Yeah.
Because his narration is all the way through it, where he's talking about like his life and what he needs to focus on and everything. When he gets in that water, he's like thinking about Liv Tyler and he's thinking about his dad and he's thinking about all these.
Liv Tyler's in this movie.
Yeah, Liv Tyler, briefly.
I think that's something that pissed me off. It was so irritating about this movie.
Yeah, he gets onto that. Like there's a, so like, yeah, there's the part. Yeah, there's the part where there, he's on the one ship going to Mars. And they stop for this distress signal, which again, it's the biggest, like, take you out of the movie moment. Cause it's like, they get on the ship nobody on the ship is like alive anymore, I guess. Cause they have to open the hatch. And there's like these, ferocious space monkey baboon things.
I mean, my guess was they were on the ship and they got loose or something. Yeah, I mean, they don't really,
thing I can think of.
Yeah, they don't really explain it. And,
they can apparently breathe up there too. Everything's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't need the helmet.
They had this weird, like prequel to Planet of the Apes, like happens for a second.
Dude, seriously, by the end of this movie, when he's coming back to Earth, I was half expecting this to be suddenly surprise Planet of the Apes.
And that's going to lead into the, cause you know, Disney wants to redo the Planet of the Apes. So it's going to lead right into that.
I was half
expecting
it. That'd
be hilarious.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
That comes out of nowhere. Then he goes to Mars and he has that, they tell him to say certain things. And, the first thing that's like scripted doesn't work. The second thing where he talks from the heart and he actually says, I want to see you and everything. It's obvious they get the message that they want. Yeah. And then they're like, you're not fit to continue this mission and everything, even though, I mean, it's also that they can hide from him the truth and everything, but he knows that he's definitely still alive.
Yeah.
And then Ruth Negga helps him and you know, he goes to that, there's that whole thing. Yeah. He goes down in the hatch. He's in water for some reason. Didn't understand that. And then, climbs up the rocket as it's about to take off.
Yeah.
And then, somehow manages to get into the, opens the hatch as it's taking off. Yeah. And then it's that same crew that was taking him to Mars.
Yeah. Minus the captain.
Minus the captain. Yeah. Lauren Dean is now the scared ass captain.
Joe dies.
Yeah.
Or Joe lies.
Yeah. Joe lies. And, all of them are like, oh, we're going to have to get this motherfucker. And like, they all die.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
All of them die trying to kill him.
And that's the whole, like, what is it? Spacecom? That's like the Federation or whatever.
Yeah,
that's like the NASA. And they're kind of like, and that's this whole thing about the, you know, the whole thing about him being calm and cool and smooth, because there's that whole thing at the beginning when they're asking him if he'll do this for them. And the guy's like, you know, there's a rumor that your pulse has never gotten above, or your heart rate's never gotten above 80 or whatever it is, you know. And that has, and that's exactly what his performance is. But every performance is like that in this movie. Mm-hmm. And there's this whole thing where like they have to keep taking these psychological tests because I guess they want everybody to be like just the same.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably something there. There's probably supposed to be something there deeper than I'm grasping onto. But But you get that from every performance. Even like the Ruth Negga, she's so just nonchalant about everything. She's like, he killed my family.
Yeah.
I guess I'll help you.
Right.
And that, and I get that that was, there's a reason for that, but it was just, it was so hard to like.
Yeah.
It was hard to like keep up. It was hard to even, like you said, even kind of know what was going on because everything was just so casual. And if there is, I guess I just wasn't completely getting the reason behind that. But I know like the SpaceCom's supposed to be like, I don't know if it's really Big Brother, but it, you know, it, there's obviously a lot of agendas there.
Yeah.
They're covering up a lot of things and, you know, that kind of thing.
They're constantly doing psyche valves.
It's like, I guess it's supposed to be like a corporate America kind of thing. Well, and then you obviously, you mentioned the commercialization, like, you know, there's like, and this is so interesting, but they don't do anything with it. Like when he gets to the moon base or whatever, and there's like a subway.
Yeah.
And I, that was interesting to me.
Yeah.
But it's just so blown over.
There was an Applebee's there.
Yeah.
there was some other like well-known stores that had like populated that there. And you know, they put in these little like touches where like he's on the rocket to the moon and he's like, can I have a pillow and a blanket?
Oh, he was like $150. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm beginning to, as I'm thinking about this movie more, like the water scene, and then especially at the end after Tommy Lee Jones has like untethered himself and wants to go and floats off into space. And
That fucking scene. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and then Pitt takes the door off and then decides I'm gonna like ride this door through the rocky ring of Neptune or I'm beginning to think that both of those scenes are just either in his head or they didn't actually have like, is it possible? I don't know. There wasn't seem to any, be any purpose to him pulling that door off and going through Neptune's ring.
No, I mean, he's trying to find a way to get to, well, he's destroying the payload. He's destroying to stop the pulses. Basically, they think if they destroy the Lima project or the state, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That'll stop that. And then he's trying to get back to Earth with all the information. And then there's also this whole thing where, like you were talking about the alien life.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Lee Jones was obsessed with finding out that there was more life out there other than us. Mm-hmm. There was more intelligent life out there. And that's why he ended up killing the people, because the people, once they found out there was nothing else out there and they had finished whatever it was they were supposed to be doing, they wanted to go back.
Yeah.
And Tommy Lee Jones was like, no.
Right.
You know, so then he killed him. But then you do find out that basically from all the reporting they did, there is no intelligent life.
Yeah.
As best they can tell. And so now we get this whole little bit at the end where Brad Pitt's going to go back, even though I don't know how he doesn't get arrested, but whatever. He's going to go back and pay more attention to his Earth life.
This is the other interstellar part is the whole, like, I found out that my dad wasted his whole life looking for something that may not be out there. I'm not going to be him.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go back to Liv Tyler and start my life back over.
But you don't care.
Yeah.
Because you
she's
haven't.
Not,
she's so non-existent this whole movie. And then all of a sudden you're supposed to be like, oh, I'm so glad they ended up together.
Yeah.
I don't, who
it's
the
one
fuck
of those
is
things
she?
Where it's a great idea for the movie, but there's no connection for us. But I don't, getting back to that door though, and going through the ring, I just didn't understand why he did that. And maybe there was a reason to it.
Yeah.
And I just missed it. But like, it seemed like that was another excuse for the movie to go back and have him reflect through his life, because he makes that rotation or whatever. He sort of revolves around the planet and then he has to go back to the station and he runs really hard into it. Like, I thought he was just committing suicide. That's how hard he runs into it. In fact, we saw some people in this movie fall from way, like, shorter distances that had a bigger impact on them than this did.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know what the purpose of those scenes are. All I know is,
you can't know why.
All I know is in the two scenes that I was like, what the fuck? He takes those moments to reflect back.
Exactly.
And so that's the only thing I can think of is that these are like in his mind in some way. It's a movie's artistic representation of him thinking, of this stuff. And then there's not much of an impact when he sees his father, because his father is long gone by this point, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
And his head is, I mean, he's been up in space for 16 something years, and he has a moment exactly like, we didn't discuss this in the Rambo one.
No.
But he has a moment where he talks to his father, and his father is like, you didn't mean anything to me.
Yeah.
Your
dreams. You and your mom, I could care less.
Yeah. You and your mom didn't mean anything. And the Rambo one, it's like almost hilarious. Like it's when you're trying to hurt somebody, but you're still doing it wrong. It doesn't make any sense. At first he's all like, hey, you grew up and everything.
Oh,
and
then, yeah, that was weird.
And then she's like, why did you leave mom and me? And then he's like, because you didn't mean anything to me. And then your mom died and she left you and I didn't care about you. And mom was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, so maybe this is a good double feature. Go watch Rambo and then watch Ad Astra. Yeah. Or maybe Rambo second.
Yeah. But Tommy Lee Jones says essentially the same thing as the father in Rambo does to him and to Brad Pitt. And then Brad Pitt is sort of like, I guess he's just like kind of expecting this. He knew that his dad would kind of be, so it's like, hey, let's get this all set up and everything. And Tommy Lee Jones basically has no choice in the matter at this point. He's too old. He's too long, too far gone. And that's why I think he just he decides to float off into space.
Yeah. Well, and we haven't even talked about it. There's a weird parallel there too. There's a Donald Sutherland played. Like a, I don't know if he's a friend of his dad's, but he knew him.
Yeah.
And he had met Brad Pitt's character, McBride, I think is their name in this.
McBride, yep.
He had met him when he was younger. And he's supposed to go on this mission with them. And then so they get to the moon, and we kind of mentioned this before, spoilers. There's pirates. Are they driving to the rocket? Like, I don't even really know where they're driving.
Yeah, they're driving to some solar powered thing that's going to take them to a ship, I think. And, we're told when on his trip to the moon, there's like a intercom thing that happens where they're like, there are pirates in certain areas. You want to be careful of that. And, but this looked like a routine, where it was like a safe place, typically, that they always drive things. And the pirates are just like, I'm going to stick my head out for this.
Exactly. And then so the pirates show up. And then so like him and Donald Sutherland, I think, are the only two that even survive.
Yeah.
And that, you know, of those two.
But he gets shot up or something.
Yeah, he gets something. So he's like, I can't go on with you anymore. So he also, he basically has like two like father figures that like, kind of leave him, you know, throughout this movie. So I'm sure there's more there too.
Yeah, and
there's so much in this movie. There's like so much said in this movie, but like I just didn't connect to any of it.
Yeah,
like
none of it.
None of it was like, I don't know.
Yeah, and Donald Sutherland gives him some sort of flash drive, and what was the video on that? There was some. It's like more to the puzzle, but it's not like it's not the one that says that he killed everybody, because he gets that later, I think.
Yeah, he does, because he finds out that right before Ruth Negga says, you know, that was, or he finds out that from her, right?
And but before then, this is the flash drive that he has some sort of video on it, and I can't remember exactly what information it gives him about it and everything. Anyway, yeah, this is a movie that it feels a lot bigger than it really actually ends up being.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Like, it feels like it believes it's important, but
yeah,
I didn't connect.
And I guess, I mean, clearly some people are going to connect more than we did, and that's cool. But yeah, for me personally, it did not hit me in anywhere that was really all that interesting. Like I said, there are moments. I think Brad Pitt's fine. I think this and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, at least, you know, I don't know. I feel like he hasn't really been doing as much lately. So it's just been kind of nice to have him back, because he's a good actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's no one else is really given enough to do. I mean, Donald Sutherland, I mean, like, I almost forgot he was in it until we were just talking about that. Tommy Lee Jones is barely in it. The Lauren Dean character, there's this stuff about how he's like, I feel like there's stuff there that they were trying to do with him being like scared,
mm-hmm.
and Brad Pitt trying to help him, but then they don't really go anywhere with that.
Don't really go anywhere with that. Oh, by the way, there's also a random Natasha Lyonne.
I forgot about that. She's like when they get to Mars or whatever. She's like there at the front, and I feel like she's part of the Spacecom thing or whatever. And then obviously the Ruth Negga character. She also is pretty much wasted. I feel like this movie, like you said, it feels like this movie thinks it has a lot more to say than it actually does.
Mm-hmm.
But then I know people are going to be like, yeah, but it's saying this and this and this, but I didn't get it.
Yeah. You can come up with all the ideas in the world and those are great ideas. Mm-hmm. Like this is something that's worth discussing, and this is something that's worth making a movie about, and so on. Doesn't always mean that the movie connects and it does it.
Yeah,
it executes it in a way.
And also, like, this movie definitely, like, in like kind of going off of that, this movie is definitely different. It's taking chances. You could argue that it's taken a pretty big swing. I mean, it's not your typical studio release. Like, and I don't know what, I didn't look and see what the budget was on this, but looks like it was 80 to 100 million. So it's a reasonable.
Yeah.
That's a reasonable price film. So, I mean, you usually like a movie with that kind of budget this is different.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do appreciate that. Look, 100%.
One part doesn't mean it's good. One part of this movie that I am down with, and I've liked entire movies based on this thing before, but
yeah,
the mood and the hypnotization that it kind of puts you in. It's kind of one of those type of things where it's like, oh man, this movie is just like a perfect mood of some sort. But, by the time it ended, I just didn't know where I was.
Yeah. It just never went anywhere for me that was interesting enough. But the first, I would say like the first half hour, I was at least like, okay, really curious to see where this is going. And then it just kept going. And then, there were those instances where I kept getting taken out of the movie. Mm-hmm. And eventually by the time we got to about the last, by the time he got to his dad, I don't know how much I cared anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that'll do it for this mini pod. We kind of like this, didn't like Rambo. This one made 19, also made 19.
I saw they were both about the same. I would say that's pretty impressive. I'm curious to see how this one does. I think it's not going to make its budget back.
But I don't think so either. I think most people will come out of this and it will drop, a pretty good amount the next week. So this is probably looking at a 30 million total.
Yeah. Well,
domestic anyway.
Yeah. And we've got stuff like Joker and Gemini Man. All that's coming out over here in the next couple weeks. So
yeah. If you want to comment about this episode, Sincast presented by CinemaSins on Facebook. CinemaSins Twitter, Music Video Sins Twitter. You have some Twitter?
I do, at SamLoomis13. Also, you can holler at me on the TV Sins Twitter, which is just at TV Sins.
Yep. You can also get on Discord. If you mm-hmm. don't have a Discord link, I can give you one through Facebook on the private messages. But that'll do it for this week. It's Chris Atkinson and Jonathan Watkins. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
According to Wikipedia, it's saying that not having enough fuel to return to his own power, he uses the shockwave from the antimatter explosion to propel the ship home.
No, that was understandable.
Yeah, okay,
I'm talking
about
him pulling the door off and then going and floating up into that ring.
Oh, yeah. It says he uses a piece of the Lima Project ship's hull to shield himself while also bringing along with him the data retrieved from the bay. That didn't explain anything.
Yeah, it doesn't explain anything. That's somebody who didn't fucking know either who wrote that shit. Kitty, kitty, kitty.
What was that song? It's like Kitty at the Door and I Wanna, I don't know. The President of the United States of America.
Kitty on my foot and I Wanna Touch It.
Kitty on my foot and I Wanna Touch It. Yeah. Presidents of the United States of America.
Yeah.
We're talking about that. We're talking about chasers.
Right. We're getting it all in there. We'll be going over a career retrospective of Erica Elaniak here in a minute.
Under Siege was good.
Yeah, Under Siege was good. and E.T. was good.